Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I am coming to you on what is February 22nd, 2021. I hope you guys had a great, great weekend out there. Well, back to business, though, on this Monday. And Spartan fans have to be feeling good. Michigan State men's basketball fans have to feel elated today. You have to feel a bit of a sigh of relief. You know, I say a bit because, I mean, you're still not out of the doghouse. You know, we still got games remaining here in the regular season, and Michigan State is still firmly out of the NCAA tournament if things were to end today. But at the end of the day, Michigan State got a win. And they were able to stop the bleeding a bit, beating the Indiana Hoosiers. And this was a game that was hard fought. It was a game that Michigan State certainly had to go out there and earn, just like every game in the Big Ten is, right? You're not just going to walk in and get an easy win in the Big Ten Conference. You are going to have to claw, fight, scrap your way to a win. But they did it. They did it. 78-71. And I don't know, maybe, just maybe, Michigan State isn't dead just yet. I'm going to give my thoughts, further thoughts on this game in just a moment. Just a heads up, as we proceed throughout the hour, you will hear from head coach Tom Izzo, and you'll get his thoughts after Michigan State got that win. You'll also hear from Aaron Henry, who had a major, major game in that win as well. So that's how the show is going to pan out. It's going to be mostly centered on Michigan State men's basketball getting that win. So stick around for those press conferences. But, you know, are the Spartans dead? You know, that's the big question, because when you look at it, this win certainly, it certainly gives you hope. You know, hope is the big word here. That's what you have to cling on to if you are a Michigan State men's basketball fan right now, because, again, as the way things stand, you know, Michigan State is out of the tournament. But there's a path that is very unlikely, but there is a path. And that's all you want at this point, right? You just want a shot. And fortunately for Michigan State, you know, looking at the schedule, even though it is a gauntlet of a schedule, without a doubt, we all know it's very, very tough. These next two games, though, you play two ranked opponents. Two opponents who are not just ranked, but they're ranked very high, in the top five to be exact. You've got Illinois tomorrow at home, number five team in the nation. Then you have, a day rest And then on Thursday, you also host Ohio State, the number 4 team in the nation. The good thing is, again, Michigan State got that win against Indiana on the road. The good thing about this is that, you know, you have both of these games back-to-back against two top teams at home. You'll be at home. For whatever that means, I don't know. And again, you know, Tom Izzo also talked about, you know, the possibility of seeing maybe a few fans at the Breslin Center this week, at least parents for that matter, because you're starting to see that at different stadiums, at different basketball venues, different sports venues, period, around our nation, as the numbers are still crazy, but they are improving. So we know here in the state of Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has opened up things a bit. So maybe we see some fans in the stands tomorrow and on Thursday. But, you know, home games, though, it just feels good to be at home and not have to travel, not have to hop on the plane or not have to hop on the bus. But these next two games will be very tough. If Michigan State wins out, I think they squeak in. I mean, because you look at it, they would have beaten two top five teams. I mean, that's pretty impressive. If they don't, and let's say they lose to Illinois, lose to Ohio State, you know, they'll play Maryland as well. And then they have Indiana and Michigan. And these are tough games, because you look at the stretch of basketball for Michigan State right now. I mean, you're playing a lot of games in a very short amount of time. I don't know if that's good or bad for this Michigan State team. I don't know if it's good, because if you do lose one of these, you have a very short turnaround, a very good opportunity to have a short memory and get back on the saddle and possibly pick up a win. But, you know, the game against Indiana, that marked the first of 4 games in 8 days for Michigan State. So a lot of games being crammed in a short amount of time to close out the year here. It could go both ways. But the opportunity is there. And one thing about Tom Izzo is that, you know, he thrives when people count him out. And, you know, I always say this, these coaches and players, you know, they can sit up and act like they don't hear the noise surrounding the job or lack thereof that they've done, but they hear it. And it pushes some players, it pushes some coaches. They like the criticism. They feed off of it because they use it to fuel them to try and get them to another level. And I don't know, maybe we're seeing that with this Michigan State men's basketball team. Again, it's one win. And some may be listening to this and saying, Al, it's just one win. Let's not get too high on our horse here. But I think that when you look at this win, knowing how bad this Michigan State team had been playing up until this win, this is major. This is major, because there wasn't even really one aspect that you can harp on with Michigan State basketball prior to this win at Indiana that you said, okay, at least they're doing this right. Okay, at least this is happening. At least they're not turning the ball over. At least the jump shot is falling. At least they're not getting blown out. At least they're playing solid defense in stretches. None of that was happening. None of that. So the fact that they responded against a pretty good Indiana team in this way, wow. Major. So Michigan State moved to 11-9 overall with the win, 5-9 in the Big Ten. Picked up a valuable quad one win over a solid Hoosiers team. And again, it was a rough start. You know, looking at this game, at just under 12 minutes to go in the first half, Michigan State made just 2 of its first 11 shots from the field, had 7 turnovers, and were down 19-6. And then we could talk about sophomore center Trace Jackson Davis, who could not be stopped. At that moment, he had 10 points, and you just felt it. You felt it, right? You felt like Michigan State was going to get run out of the gym. This was going to be another blowout. It was going to be another example of the Spartans just failing. Failing to compete in this conference. And then Tom Izzo tinkering with that lineup, right? Michigan State started the game with Malik Hall, Julius Marble, and A.J. Hogard. But all three of them just struggled. And it was surprising because, you know, especially you look at like a guy like Marble coming off a really good game. You know, and then Michigan State tried all four centers in the first half. Marble and then, you know, Matty Sissoko. And then, you know, Marcus Bingham Jr. And then Thomas Kithier. They also experimented with Gabe Brown at the four. And for much of the second half, with both Hall and Joey Hauser struggling. There was a lot of tinkering going on. And you know, you totally get it because, you know, Tom Izzo is searching for answers here. He is searching to try and figure out, okay, who can I depend on? What lineup works? What lineup frustrates teams? Because right now we have not seen a consistent lineup doing that. But we saw in key stretches of that game, especially in the second half, certain guys showed up. And yo, props to Gabe Brown. Gabe Brown was amazing in that game. Gabe Brown led the bench production with 14 points. Played almost 30 minutes, 29 to be exact, 5 for 11 from the floor, and he hit major three-pointers. He shot 50% from three-point land for a Michigan State team that is not a good three-point shooting team. Finally, we saw somebody, anybody, hitting from deep. That was major. Now, again, I mentioned the struggles of Malik Hall and, you know, Julius Marble. Heck, even Matty Sissoko, you know, Matty, that the game prior to Indiana, you know, we saw Michigan State lose to Purdue. But, you know, I thought that Matty in stretches against Travion Williams played great. But he didn't even capitalize off of that momentum in this game against Indiana. Again, I mentioned, you know, Trace Jackson Davis and his start to that game. He finished the game with 34 points, 11 of 18 from the floor, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. I mean, he was a man amongst boys. Michigan State struggled to contain him, and I think when they run up against any big man from here on out, they are always going to struggle because they don't have an interior defensive presence that can really stop anybody. They just don't. Every prolific big that Michigan State has played this year, that big has gone off. That's just a reality. But you got to be able to counter it. And the only way you can counter that is by having great offensive production on the other end of the floor. And Aaron Henry, who played all 40 minutes on Saturday against Indiana, Aaron Henry proved to be that guy. Aaron Henry showed us the player that he is capable of being on any given night. We have been waiting to see this from Aaron Henry. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that he was back in his home state. Maybe it's the fact that Pops was in the crowd. Whatever it was, you need to bottle that up and bring it to every single game for Aaron Henry. Bring Pops to every game. Pops needs to be that at every single Michigan State basketball game from here on out right now. Because if Aaron Henry is going to do this, Michigan State has a really good chance of making the tournament. But when he struggles, it's like, who do you lean on? You know, Josh is still trying to find his way. Even though Josh was great, man, props to Joshua Langford because him fighting back to get to where he is now is a remarkable story in its own. But we all know it with Josh, it's just like, all right, just can you just give me some good minutes, get out there, maybe hit three jumpers, and I'm cool with it. But he went out there against Indiana and was 5 of 6, 14 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds. That's amazing. That's the Josh Langford that we remember before the injuries, right? And you pair that with Aaron Henry, who ties his career high with 27 points. 9 of 17 from the floor. When you got those two guys doing what they do, Michigan State is a tough team to beat. They just are. And then if you could just get, you know, maybe just two players off the bench playing well. Michigan State didn't just get two. They got three. I mentioned Gabe Brown, who had a great night. But then you throw in Marcus Bingham Jr., who gave you some great offensive production. And then on the defensive end, I want to acknowledge this for Marcus Bingham. Marcus, again, he's not the greatest player. He's still got a long way to go to be an elite big man. But his length alone, folks, look, man, when you're a seven-footer, you naturally can just alter shots with your length. All you got to do is just throw your hands up, and you are going to alter a few shots. Your size alone, the physical specimen that you are alone, is going to cause people in the post to think twice. And that's what happened a few times with Marcus Bingham. Oh, he even had a block on the day. But he was also 4 of 5 from the floor, 8 points, and throwing in 5 rebounds. Awesome production off the bench there. And then, last but certainly not least, Rocket Watts showed up. Rocket Watts finally showed up into the gym. We had been wondering where he's been. We put out Amber Alerts. He has been on the side of milk cartons for weeks now. We've thrown up a green and white smoke signal. We've alerted the authorities. Rocket Watts has disappeared. Well, we found a bit of him on Saturday. I'll say a bit because he still can get better, but he showed up, man. And he was great defensively as well. That's the thing about Rocket. Rocket is a great defensive guard as well. As much as we expect him to be this offensive force, don't sleep on Rocket's defense because he can also lock guys up. But Rocket, he played 32 minutes. Again, these are eye-popping numbers. 2 of 6 from the floor, 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And again, I mentioned his defense. He also had 1 steal. Those numbers aren't eye-popping when you expect a lot from Rocket Watts. But when you just look at how bad he has been these last few weeks, those numbers are fantastic. When you're comparing what he's done for us lately, Spartan fans, to what he did on Saturday, wowza. Big, 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 big difference. He looked more in tune with the game. His energy was up. And the buckets that he did get, he seemed to have a bounce in his step. Rocket was into it on Saturday, and he had a major contribution to that 7-point win against Indiana on Saturday. I love what I saw from Michigan State in that second half. So the season isn't over yet, folks. It isn't. Again, I think in order for the Spartans to continue this kind of run, you're going to need to win out. One, that's an option. Or to have an incredible showing in the Big Ten tournament that allows you to run the whole thing and win it to get in. You know, that game one Saturday afternoon had major NCAA tournament ramifications. It really did. And I think it reminded people that, okay, this Michigan State team is still Michigan State. They can still do this. And Indiana had been on a roll, folks. I mean, we're talking about a team in the Hoosiers that had won, what, three of its past four games, bouncing back from, you know, that loss at Ohio State. And then they had a win against Minnesota. That was huge. That was huge. And then jumping out to that lead. Wow. It just wasn't expected. Nobody expected Michigan State to have that kind of bounce back, that kind of fight. Make no doubt about it. The deck is still stacked against Michigan State. You got a tough six final games beginning tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 against the number 5 team in the land in Illinois. If they can duplicate what we saw on Saturday, I'm not saying they're going to beat Illinois, but they'll make it very, very hard. Very, very hard, folks. But what are your thoughts on the Spartans? I was very impressed, and I want to see some consistency moving forward from the guys who really showed up in that win. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment right there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, I want to briefly touch upon the Michigan Wolverines getting another win, proving that they are one of the best teams in all of college hoops. And again, we'll play for you a bit of that press conference from Tom Izzo and players after the win at Indiana. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard my thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball win over Indiana on Saturday. And I cannot move forward unless I give some props to the Michigan State women's basketball team, who yesterday on Pink Game Day, #BeatCancer, the Michigan State women's basketball team found a way to avoid the upset and beat the Purdue Boilermakers. It was a thrilling back-and-forth game. Michigan State rallied from a fourth-quarter deficit as large as 9 points, and Tori Osmond was the player that sealed the deal for Michigan State. I mean, it was remarkable, folks. It was a home win as well. And, you know, you look at that, it was tied at 73. You know, as the clock dwindled down, Nia Clouden had the ball at the top of the paint, actually on the right wing beyond the 3-point arc, and it looked as though Purdue was in a zone. So Nia, who was having a struggle bus of a game, but man, she's such a smart basketball player, such a smart guard. She drove to her left, drew. It was, you know, it was like a 2-1-2 or like a 2-3 zone that Purdue was running. So the two players at the top, she was able to draw both of them in as she drove to the left. Osmond was open on the left wing behind the arc. She nailed a three-pointer. Game over. 76-73, folks. How about that? Michigan State women's basketball finding a way, grinding it out to get that win. That's amazing. So Michigan State, shout out to Susie Merchant and company. They moved to 12-6 on the season, 7-6 in the Big Ten. Purdue lost its seventh straight. So I couldn't move forward without giving props to the Michigan State women's basketball team as well. And also, a big shout out to Juwan Howard and the Michigan men's basketball team, which just continues on winning. You know, and that was a heck of a game between Michigan and Ohio State. You know, hey, we all know that these two, you know, just go at it on the football field. But that was like a football game yesterday, wasn't it? You know, we all know that Michigan and Ohio State, those are two schools that are known for that football rivalry. And we saw a bit of that football rivalry on display on the hardwood yesterday. You know, six ties in the second half. Michigan was able to pull away, though, in the final minutes, held on to beat Ohio State 92-87. And, you know, that was a meeting between two programs that showcased a lot of talent, both aiming for number one seeds come March. So, and also, you know, that win placed an importance on Hunter Dickinson, the 7'1" freshman center who, you know, he had a lot of inches on those Ohio State big men. And he led the Wolverines with 22 points, 9 boards, hitting all 6 of his foul shots. He was big. He was big. So this Michigan basketball team, my goodness, we'll see how far they can go. But again, Juwan Howard, as I highlighted on last week's Current Sports, he is doing something very special out there in A-squared, proving all of the doubters wrong. All right, folks, again, back to Michigan State men's basketball, though. You heard my thoughts in segment A concerning the Michigan State win over Indiana. And now I want you to hear from head coach Tom Izzo, as well as Gabe Brown and Joshua Langford, as they give thoughts on what happened on Saturday that led to Michigan State having some life and finding a way to win. Here they are, folks.
Well, I guess I'm happy for our guys, happy for our fans. I know it's been a miserable stretch here, but the one thing I guess I'm feeling good and proud about is, you know, in general, we have practiced pretty good. We've had more meetings. We kept grinding it. We kept working at it. And I told you in those press conferences that they didn't kind of quit or didn't, you know, not quit practicing well. And last night at practice, and then when we got here, we had a little shoot around. We got tested late. Joshua Langford, I thought, as good as Aaron played, I thought Josh set the tempo. We talked about being as connected as we can be, and we had to be better defensively, and we had to give some help on people. And but I thought it was really good. You can see why we missed Gabe Brown. You know, this is the first game he looked anywhat like he was looking earlier, and I thought Rocket Watts played very well. That was really encouraging. And yet, you know, we struggled at the four with Joey you know, it seemed like Malik, there were just times where they just maybe weren't quite with it. But by committee, you know, Mahdi gave us something. Joey did give us something. He scored 3 points, just didn't shoot it as well. Marcus Bingham gave us something. So we got a lot out of a lot of people in small ways. But I think the best thing was it was a great team win. And I thought Aaron was unbelievable. If Aaron and Josh play like that, we can get Joey back making shots, then we become a real good team. Because Rocket, I thought, ran our team. You know, we had, 8 turnovers the first 7 minutes of the game, 2 the rest. That's where we're down 11, came back, and only 4 the second half. And that makes a difference for us.
We'll start with questions. First one coming from Chris Solari.
Hey, Tom. Somewhere around that 9-10 minute mark when you found that lineup with –
with Rocket and Josh and Aaron, and looked like Gabe was at the three and Aaron at the four, and Kithier was big minutes too. I guess, was that something that you just kind of stumbled onto because of some of those early struggles at the four, or is that something that you like to see it maybe more of?
Well, we talked about it some. Some goes on lineups, you know. When Hunter came in the game, that possessed the problem for us defensively because he's such a good shooter. And that also at 6'7" gives us a chance to maybe go a little smaller. And, you know, I thought they were I liked their team. You know, I told Archie after, they didn't play as well. I mean, those two guys inside, you know, Trace Jackson, we recruited him hard. I mean, he is a superstar. I mean, he made plays. He made spin plays. He just looked good to me. I mean, I think he's gotten better every year. But right now he's a lot of big guys in this league get credit. I think Trace and love his family and everything. I think Trace has been really, really good in watching film. Thompson hasn't been as good, but he's a blue collar guy. And he tore us up a little bit in there. And so Aaron, you know, took the challenge. Josh, I thought, helped a lot. Rocket kept his man in front of him. All those things made a difference. We still gave up a lot of points in the paint, but at the same time, we scored more points in the paint than they did.
In particular with Rocket, when you're able to balance him bringing the ball up with Aaron a couple times and Josh a lot, how much does that change maybe the dynamic of the offense to have three guys that can run the show up there?
Well, a lot. I mean, it really does. And, you know, we have experimented with that. You know, it's a shame that I'm still tinkering, but at the same time, I tried to tell you, you know, you tinker because sometimes you don't do as good a job. Sometimes players don't do as good a job. And you know, everybody kind of hung in there with us. You know, we did go with different lineups. Rocket had a great couple days of practice. I mean, if you talk to him, it's, you know, he really had a couple – 2 days ago, he was unbelievable in practice. And in fact, it was Dwayne Stevens that said, that's the guy I thought we were getting. And you know, it's been hard on him, but he's settled down. He's kind of learned how to play the position a little bit more. And that's encouraging because defensively, I didn't think he's been as good this year as he was last year. Tonight, I thought he was a lot better defensively also.
Next question, we'll go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Hey, Tom, a quick two-parter. Was today's win an example of all the things you've been explaining to us in the press conference finally coming together and catching up? And can you educate us, too, on the towel that you had on?
Yeah, you know, my towel is our tribute from the NABC to John Thompson, who actually was a good friend of mine. I mean, I wouldn't say great, but good. Did a lot of our NCAA games, and he was always, you know, he'd call me once in a while, you know, I love the way his teams played with the toughness. So we had something in common. Size wasn't one thing we had in common, but we had some other things in common. And so that was the tribute to John and his son. And, you know, I'd say that for me, it's so hard. You know, every time I talk to you guys, I feel like I'm making excuses and that bothers me as much as anything. And some of you guys that know me really well, I don't think I make them. If I do, post me up on it. But it's been a tough go, you know, and just getting all those guys back together has been tough. And you know, you miss a guy like Gabe. I mean, if Gabe doesn't hit 4 for 8 from the three, it opened up those wings so much. Then all of a sudden in the middle, we started slipping guys and getting guys layups and dunks. It just changes the whole dynamics of everything. And Aaron, you know, got to give him a lot of credit. He took over. And like I said, Josh had 6 rebounds. He was the best leader. He was great in the huddles. He suggested plays. Josh's 5 for 6 will go unnoticed in some ways because of, you know, 5 for 6 isn't the greatest thing. I don't think we win the game at all without Josh Langford and all the little things he did. And the two things we went into the game with, little things matter, and let's stay more connected. And I thought we did a good job of both of them.
All right, thank you.
I think Matt might have frozen, so and I can't access the chat, so could someone jump in on a question here?
Yeah, I think it was me. Hi, Tom. I want to talk a little bit about Thomas Kithier, what you thought from him. He kind of seemed a little bit – he did a pretty good job on Jackson Davis. It looked like a little bit aggressive. Was that something you expected from him, and how do you kind of assess his performance?
Thomas is our best guy at forcing guys out. You know, Markey's lack of strength hurt. And, you know, Julius, you know, he's got the strength, but maybe not the experience. And I think he found out that starting, he got tired quickly, like Markey did last year. And but I thought in general, Thomas Kithier did a great job, you know, in the 9-10 minutes he played. He really did do some good things. He missed that layup, or otherwise it would have been even better. But you're right. He did a decent job on Trace, and Trace is a load, man. He's a good player. When they put all those shooters, there's times they got 3 and 4 shooters in the game. When they put Hunter at the 4, they can go with 4 shooters in there. Not easy to cover, but I didn't think we did a great job on him. I thought he was hard to cover, but I thought Thomas might have done the best job. Monty did a pretty good job on him too.
It took a while because I was just sitting for a lot of days and not playing and not doing anything. So it was a while, but I feel like everything is coming back along. I'm working 10 times as hard on getting back in shape and just doing the little things in order for me to help this team.
Next, we'll go to Chris Solari.
Hey, Gabe, at the end of that first half, the lineup you guys had out there with you at the 4 and Aaron at the 3, I guess – or excuse me, the other way around. I think you were playing the 4 and Aaron at the 3. Never mind. Anyways, how much did that versatility help you and help the offense maybe do some different things after that slow start?
I felt it helped a lot. It put us in a small ball situation, which their bigs had to guard us. It stressed us out a little bit more. And Henny, Rock, Josh, they did a lot of great things in just finding me, finding the open guys, and just –
Next, we'll go to Brendan Quinn.
Gabe, of late, you're just trying to find your stroke. Can you kind of just talk us through that process of being a shooter? That's just kind of, you know, you got to keep getting them up and just wait for that day to come. What's that? How do you kind of go through that process?
It's just a lot of work. I mean, I work on my game a lot, and I just believe in myself. Every time I shoot it, I just feel like it's going to go in. So every shot that I take, I never feel like it's a bad shot because that's what I am. I can shoot the ball.
With the maybe some frustrations that you've had this year, I don't know if it's really gone probably the way you expected or hoped. Just how big is it for you to find something here these last few weeks and kind of, you know, generate something out of this season for yourself?
It's very big. At the end of the day, all I just want to win. I mean, I want this team to win. I want us to do something special. I mean, we got a special group of guys. Everyone is taken accountable for the things that they're doing. So I really just, at the end of the day, I just want to win. And I just want to be happy, and I am.
Thanks, man.
Next up, Rico Cooney.
Hey, Gabe, talk a little bit about Henny and maybe what you may have noticed from him before the game or during the game that he was so dialed in and so clicked in to have the kind of day that he had today.
It's just how he is. I mean, Henny is a great leader. Henny does the right things off the court. Henny does a good job of everything. So, and he's back in his home state. He never won. So this was big for him. And he did an excellent job of just getting guys involved, scoring the ball, rebounding, doing a lot of great things out there. Proud of him.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Next, we'll go to Nick Manis.
Hey, Gabe, when it comes to the confidence of this team and the way you guys were playing today, it seems like you had a little bit more jump in the way you guys were flying around. Was there something that just kind of motivated you a little bit more besides, you know, the obvious of needing to win out? Was there something that just gave you guys a little bit more confidence today?
One thing we wanted to do is play connected. That's what Coach instilled in us today. And throughout the past week, he wanted us to be connected. And I felt like that's one of the things why when we was out there, we were connected. We were talking to each other, coming in the huddles, not arguing, not doing things like that. I felt everyone was with the team and everyone felt like they wanted to be here and wanted to win.
All right, Gabe, that's all the questions we had for you today. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to be joined by Josh Langford here in a second. Josh will be our last guy here today. There's Josh there. We'll start with a question from Lindsey Huddleston.
Yes, I'm sorry. Hey, Jay, congratulations on the win. Coach Izzo has given you a new title, assistant coach, without the pay. But when you were out before you came back, did you envision that you would be taking on such a vocal role as like a leader of your team, or did this just kind of morph based on the needs of the team?
I think it was a mixture of both. You know, I just think that, you know, kind of my makeup as a person, but also just how my teammates see me as well. You know, I didn't elect myself as a captain. My teammates did. And I think that's a big honor. So, but it's also a big responsibility. And so I just think that, you know, Coach is, I mean, he's one of the greatest leaders that I've ever been around. I think he's one of the greatest leaders to ever live. It may be a little biased, but this is my opinion. I'm with him every day. So, you know, just being around him and also being around my teammates, those guys, you know, looking to me, it helps me be encouraged to step up and lead. And so that's, you know, tonight I really just wanted to come out and just keep a good attitude. You know, that's something that we talked about as a team. You know, regardless of what happens, regardless of what we see, you know, keep a good attitude. And that's, you know, that's what I wanted to do personally. And I think that's what we wanted to do as a team. And I feel like when you do that, you know, the right results will follow.
Great. Thank you for that.
Next, we'll go to Chris Solari.
Hey, Josh. You mentioned about the attitude. I guess in those first 10 minutes of the first half, what do you feel the attitude of the team was before you kind of fell into that lineup that really seemed to gel? And I guess what was the attitude after you saw that?
So you said the last part again?
What was the attitude like after everything, after the shots started falling for you guys?
Well, I think that's the thing. You know, you don't want to have your attitude based upon results, because if your attitude is based upon results, you'll be just like this. What we wanted to do, we wanted to be consistent regardless of what we seen. And that was our mindset. And it was easy. It would have been easy for us to just throw in the towel when they made that run early on in the first half. But, you know, to everybody's credit, we stayed solid and we kept the right attitude. You know, attitude is not necessarily about you not feeling something, but it's about you controlling your response based upon that feeling. And, you know, that's what we wanted to do. And I feel like we did a pretty good job of it tonight.
As a follow with that, I was going to say, as a follow with that, with that grouping you had where you were bringing up the ball quite a bit, I guess what did you see in that group, the versatility maybe that you guys had that allowed you guys to go on that run to get back in?
I mean, what I'm saying is just everybody just trying to win. Obviously, that's not something that I've played in the past here, but, you know, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, in the previous question, I'm just trying to be here to help my teammates win. And I think at this point, everybody, you know, has one goal. I mean, we had that goal consistently, but everybody is honing in even more on the goal of just doing your job, but doing it for each other. The coach the saying that coach had throughout the whole pregame and even before today was the word connected. And that's what we wanted to be. And I feel like that's what we did.
Next, we'll go to Brendan Quinn.
Josh, we were told earlier that you've even called some plays in some huddles. Wonder if you have any examples of anything you dialed up today.
Everybody was pitching in today. It's just some things I've seen. It wasn't even just offensively, but also defensively as well, that I kind of spoke on. But, you know, like I said before, you know, everybody's just trying to do their job. And, you know, when your back is against the wall and when you feel like your back is against the wall, it's okay to feel the feeling of wanting to quit, but it's not okay to embrace that feeling and quit. And I think nobody has quit and everybody's been trying to pitch in. And so, you know, with that coming of me, you know, throwing in, pitching in plays, is just me just trying to pitch in for the team and, you know, help where I can.
You're the only senior on this team. I wonder what you thought or how your teammates might have responded to what Tom said earlier this week about these last few weeks kind of being an audition for next year. You're not coming back, but I imagine other people, players, would kind of, I don't know, have to interpret what he said in some way or another.
Can you repeat that question? I'm not getting the full understanding.
You're obviously the only senior on the team. Tom said earlier this week to us, you know, that the last few games are auditions.
Yeah.
For everyone else. I wonder how you think your teammates might have interpreted that.
I mean, I think they interpreted well. You know, everybody, like I said, you know, as much as we're talking, you know, next year has been brought up, we're still here. And I think everybody's trying to focus in on, you know, just taking the one game at a time and being present in each moment and just giving all you got. And, you know, that's all coach is asking for. He's asking for us to give all we have. He's not asking us to be perfect. He's just asking us to be consistent. And so, you know, that's what he asks for us. That's what he's always asked of his players. And I think, you know, that's what we're kind of growing into. And I think we've seen some of that tonight.
Thank you, Josh.
Yes, sir.
Apologies for the poorly worded question.
Huh?
All right. We have time for one more. We'll go to Graham Couch for our last question.
Josh, wanted to ask you about Rocket Watts. And he seemed to me is maybe as connected or fitting as well as he had. I think Tom Izzo said the game came to him. He's had a couple of good practices. As somebody who is, and he talked about your influence on him a little bit. I'm wondering what you have said to him and what you've seen from him as he tries to emerge what's been kind of a nightmarish season and why he looked different today.
Well, I mean, I think one thing about Rocket is that he's a fighter. He's not going to give up. And he's somebody who's always going to keep giving his all, regardless of what is going on. And I think that just speaks volumes to his character, you know, that he hasn't thrown in the towel, that he hasn't, you know, folded.
All right, again, Tom Izzo, Gabe Brown, Josh Langford, all giving thoughts on the Michigan State dub on Saturday at Indiana. We'll hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back, folks. We are out of time. What a show, right? And I didn't think, you know, opening up today's show, I did not believe that I was going to be opening up talking about a Michigan State men's basketball win, but they were able to find that win. I also want to give a big shout out to Naomi Osaka in a quick, very brief reflection Friday. I'm stuck in on Friday mode, right? Monday, weekend winners, excuse me, as Naomi Osaka was able to find a way to win another major. I mean, she is just, goodness, she is just so impressive, folks. Naomi Osaka is taking the tennis world by storm, and she's already arrived. If you didn't know that, now you know. Naomi Osaka is like, you know, the second coming of Serena Williams. I really believe that. And she was able to win the Australian Open over the weekend. So the Osaka era is officially upon us. She defeated Jennifer Brady in the final. And that now marks her fourth major title. That ties her with Clem Clijsters and trailing just Serena and Venus among active players, and is now a 21-match win streak for her. 21 straight matches is what she has won. You know, and she won that straight set victory over Serena in the semis to get to the Australian Open final, and, you know, now she's just doing work. So I love to see it. This young queen is amazing, and we are going to witness her greatness for years and years to come. So I wanted to give Naomi Osaka a major shout out as well. Okay, well, that will do it, folks. We'll be back at it, same time, same place on Tuesday. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.